I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening, folks. Tonight, we got to talk about what's happening at Harvard. Folks are still talking about how Harvard has rescinded an admission for a Parkland survivor over the past comments, causing us to ask the question, at what point does social media forgive those for past comments? We're going to talk a little bit about that. And the dilemma of Squeegee Boys continues, as one Squeegee Boy said that he has no alternative. Really? Stay riding with us. It's all happening on For the Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We got some great stories. We got some great stories. Let me stop here. Let me just say a couple of things really quickly. Because yesterday I had to take notice of the course of the conversation yesterday. Because yesterday it kind of got to me, folks, you know. And not in a bad way or, you know, negative way, but it just made me more reflective. And I felt like, you know, we were able to share a little bit about what was on our mind and our heart and our spirit. And we shared those great words of wisdom and guidance from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I'm at this point now that we've been blessed with this platform. You've been tuning in. And I'm at this point now that we really should need to hear from the political leaders. I would love to hear. And we've put out, Alex and my team and I, we have all put out invitations for Mayor Jack Young to come on to the show. And so I want to put it out publicly. We would like to invite Mayor Jack Young to come on to the show to give us a real conversation with us and with you so we can have a discussion about various topics and issues that are in our city right now. So Mayor Young, we want to put it out there. Alex, if you can put an email out to Mr. Davis. And Mr. Davis, we understand what your role is. But the reality is we definitely want to have the mayor to come on and talk to WEAA. I know the mayor has been on other stations. I know, folks. It's a shame. It's a shame. But at the end of the day, I want to have the mayor on this show. We've had previous mayor. We have former mayor Catherine Pugh to come on. She took answers and questions from you. We've had other folks and dignitaries. But today, we have yet to hear. And I mean, I'm talking about legitimately hear back. My producer, Alex, has put this request out many times. And so I think that it's appropriate for us to do not just a private communication, but a public communication to have Mayor Young to come on For the Culture here on WEAA to talk to me and to talk to you. Because many of you have questions, very valid questions. Many of you have very valid concerns. And we want to address them. And it's no fair, it's not fair, that if we have, if the mayor is able to visit other stations around the city and has yet to come to the voice of the community, that's still concerning for all of us. That's very concerning for all of us. So, again, I'm just putting it out there, and we're going to keep a clock because, unfortunately, we are living in a city where people be like, I'm coming on. I'll see you. And they don't show up. But the topics, the issues, all of the things that are the challenges that are facing our city right now, we don't have time to really play around with that. So, again, folks, and Mr. Mayor, I ask that you accept our invitation. Come on to WEAA. Come on to For the Culture. Again, we know you've been on other stations. I've heard you on other stations. It's time for you to talk to us now. And Mr. Davis, you can expect an invitation from my producer. And we want to have a discussion. Let's have that one-on-one. Don't be afraid to come on now. I know what they say about my listeners, but let me tell you, my listeners are some of the most knowledgeable, passionate people in the city of Baltimore. I have a great set of listeners. And I don't want us to go into this election year, especially going into 2020, hiding, not responding, not truly dealing with or communicating. I think in the city of Baltimore, that is a terrible habit to have as a public official. And I'm not saying that that's the case with you, Mr. Young, Mayor Young, but I am certainly saying that we haven't heard from you on this platform to have the conversation that we need to have with you. So again, Mayor Young, we're going to, we have extended an invitation to you. Mr. Davis, let us please take a look at our invitation and let us set up a date and time for us to have a one-on-one conversation with the new mayor of Baltimore City, Mayor Jack Young. All right. So I just wanted to put that out there, folks, because, you know, my spirit and my heart is still in a certain space. But we're going to work through this. We are certainly going to work through this. But tonight, we want to shift gears a little bit, folks, because tonight I want to talk about this idea of social media. At what point does social media forgive those who have made very hurtful past comments? We are currently living in a time right now where if you posted something in your past that you weren't in your right mind, you may have posted something that you may have forgotten about, and then it comes back to bite you in that place you didn't expect. Should we forgive you for your past comments? This is the dilemma that we find one of the Parkland survivors, Kyle Kushev, who was the survivor of the shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. When word got to him, he applied to go to Harvard University. And Harvard University rescinded his acceptance because they recently saw some screenshots and showed him using racial slurs. He used the N-word a few times, a few months before the Parkland shooting back in 2018. He was admitted to Harvard, but then he wrote on Twitter that he had been made aware of quote-unquote egregious and callous comments he made when he was 16 years old. Now, Kyle is a gun rights activist. And on Twitter, he had made the point that he was 16 years old and he made some idiotic comments, that he was embarrassed by it. He also mentioned that the comments he made are not indicative of who he is and who I've become in the years since. He said, when your classmates, your teachers, and your neighbors are killed, it transforms you as a human being. I can and will do better moving forward. Now, Harvard has sent him a couple of letters. The first letter that they sent him was dated on May the 24th, where it says that they have the reserved the right to withdraw an offer of admission, and they asked for a written explanation within 72 hours. He did respond, and Kyle apologized, quote unquote, unequivocally for his previous actions, and that he hoped that he could reach out to the college's Office of Diversity Education and Support to, quote, begin a dialogue that I hope will be the foundation of future growth. But then Harvard responded to that letter in a letter dated June 3rd, and notified Kyle that they were rescinding his acceptance. In the letter, it stated, as you know, the committee takes seriously the qualities of maturity and moral character. We are sorry about the circumstances that have led us to withdraw your admission, and we wish you success in your future academic endeavors and beyond. Now, Kyle tried to appeal the decision by reaching out to Harvard's Dean of Admissions, asking for an in-person meeting to make the case face-to-face. But that appeal was not addressed. And so the spokeswoman for Harvard, Rachel Dane, said, we do not comment publicly on the admission status of individual applicants. So Kyle went back to social media, the place that got him in trouble, folks, and said, Harvard decided that someone can't grow, especially after a life-altering event like the shooting, is deeply concerning. If any institution should understand growth, it's Harvard, which is looked to as the pinnacle of higher education, despite its checkered past. He added, in the end, this isn't about me. It's about whether we live in a society in which forgiveness is possible, or mistakes brand you as irredeemable, as Harvard has decided for me. I want us to have a conversation about this, because I think it's absolutely interesting that now we're living in a time where what you say on social media is really, it really sticks around. It's like debt or like your credit. It's just stuff, just like school loans, just never go away. So what is the proper way of handling a situation like this? Here you have, in this particular instance, we have this situation where this guy is trying to get into a school. And do you think Harvard made the right decision? That's the big question. Did Harvard make the right decision? Considering that Kyle did mention that Harvard has a checkered past. I'm going to show you that. Because Harvard has a history of racism. Harvard has a history of certainly, being very selective about their students. Harvard has a very, very checkered history. But Harvard is also, and I think, Harvard has also been involved in that whole situation with the college scandals. So Harvard is trying to turn a new leaf. Do you think Harvard made the right decision in this case, though? Do you think institutions that look at your past comments, do you think they should reserve that right to do that? And at what point does social media forgive Are we able to truly forgive? We talk about it in all of our religions. Every religion has a theology behind forgiveness. How come we don't actually practice it? And how come now more than ever, your past doesn't stay in your past? It becomes your present and sometimes even dictates your future. Oh, my goodness. Hit me up on the phone lines. Let me know your thoughts about this. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Because I want to get your take on this culture that we're currently in, man. This culture is like we always and I had these many conversations with Alex. Like, we live in this gotcha culture. Like, we love bringing up the dirt of somebody. Now, in this case, is that a legitimate concern? 2 years ago, a white student using racial slurs, but is trying to get into an Ivy League school. Is that a legitimate and justifiable circumstance to say, you know, no, we need to address this? Or should we allow certain things to just, you know, some folks are saying boys will be boys type of thing. You know, young people say stupid things type of thing. So I want to get your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888. Let me know your thoughts about, you know, where institutions, especially institutions of higher learning, should stand on this. And considering this is graduation season, a lot of students have graduated. You know, do you think that that schools, colleges in particular, are they crossing any boundaries by looking at a student's social media comments and their history? I mean, there are a lot of layers to this story, folks, a lot of layers. You got that layer. I mean, you got freedom of speech layers. You got the layer of, you know, making stupid comments. You got the layer of a person trying to change and redeem themselves. A lot of layers to this. All right, hit me up. Man, phone lines are lit. I love it. Let's get into it. 410-319-8888. Let me talk to somebody that I haven't had the opportunity to talk to yet. Nayola, let's go to you. Nayola, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi, Faraji. How are you?
I'm good.
My take is this. Just like you have employers looking at social media to see, you know, the backgrounds and the type of characteristics that people have nowadays before they consider you for employment, these young kids have to understand that, and anybody really has to understand that once you put your information out there, these are your words that you put on a public platform, they can come back to haunt you, you know, and people, they keep saying that we have freedom of speech, but you still have to watch what you say, in particular when it comes to offending people on a cultural or racial, a gender bias. Like, this is the society that we're living in now, and so I think that Harvard absolutely made the right decision.
So you don't think they crossed any boundaries or anything?
No, I do not. Like, you know, I think that they're trying to rectify this past, as many institutions should be.
Yeah.
You know, trying to rectify this past and not carry this forward. You know, and none of this would have gotten out unless he put it out there.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. He put it out there, and so now he has to deal with the consequences and repercussions of what he said. And if he truly is trying to reform himself, then he will work on that. He will work on improving his community and wherever he goes, and he will better himself and that community. Like, you know, there are other institutions that may take him in, but as a whole, I think that people need to be careful about what they say when it comes to words can hurt.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not like he just made some flimsy comment. You know, I mean, look at what's happening with the governor in Virginia, that these photos come back on you years later. So, yeah, social media, we live, you know, I'm fortunate. I'm 40 plus. I didn't grow up at a time where everything I said or every picture I took was on the Internet. But the Internet's going to win every time.
Hey, let me tell you, Nayola, it's unforgiving. Social media, hey, look, social media says God forgives. We don't.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for checking in. I appreciate
it. No problem. This is my first time calling. Fantastic. And I'm glad that I can speak on this topic.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. You too. Let's go to Mama Z. Mama Z, what's your take on this?
Yes, peace, Brother Faraj.
Peace.
My first time as well.
Fantastic.
And I have several takes on this. First being the culture that we live in, the country that we live in,
uh-huh.
the overarching issue of racism across the board. I'm not justifying what that young man did. I don't know that Harvard made the right decision, because I would bet anything right now. Well, I don't bet, but I would say to anyone right now that I'm sure Harvard has racists on their staff and sitting in those classrooms right now today. So it has a checkered past that maybe it's trying to clean up and using this young man. I don't know. He was wrong. A lot of us are wrong. But if we address the issue of racism across the board in this country, we can touch on all of these subjects. A 16-year-old brother of African American ancestry, is not going to be forgiven for anything. And in many instances, he's going to be charged as an adult if he just looks the wrong way. So 16-year-old children of European ancestry always get a pass. They always want to try again. We always have to forgive. But no one forgives our children. No one looks at our children as having made a mistake because they're 12 or 14. So I would like to address the issue, not just of Harvard and what they've done, but of racism in this country, so that we can have honest conversations around it.
Yeah.
And not just keep running and walking and tiptoeing around it.
Yep.
And everybody wants to be politically correct when we have children dying in the streets every day because of how they look, how they dress, and how they speak.
That is. Hey, Mama Z, you bringing that fire. That's what we need to have that conversation. And that's why this is why this particular story has so many layers to it, because at the end of the day, you know, Kyle, by him being a white male student, there's history attached to that. There's context attached to that, just to his very existence. Just to the fact that he was admitted to an Ivy League school and he was afforded that opportunity. There's something that we still have to address. Look, folks, when I got to take a quick pause. When we come back, Sean, Pierre, Real Thomas, and Samanj, I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Just in about 3 minutes, we'll be right back to talk about what Harvard has done. Do you think Harvard made the right decision? And at what point does social media forgive from past comments we may have made not in the best frame of mind? Stay riding with me. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with us this evening, folks. If you just checked in, before we get back to this conversation, I put out a public invitation to hear from Mayor Young, because I want us to have a one-on-one discussion, folks. And, you know, I'm not going to leave you out the conversation. I'm not going to leave you out. I want us to have a one-on-one with our mayor about what's going on in this city. I want us to have a one-on-one. Me, you, and the mayor. We have a little fireside chat. We have attempted to invite the mayor out to the show on numerous occasions. And, of course, we have not been successful. But I don't want this to continue to be that the way. Especially, y'all, you want to really know? Especially when the mayor has gone on other radio stations. Now I'm starting to feel a certain type of way, as they say. But no, I'm really starting to understand, like, okay, at the end of the day, folks, we all live in Baltimore. At the end of the day, this is a platform, a respected platform, a platform where people share their sentiments and views about what's going on. That should be respected, especially by our public officials. No more of this, we're going to just go along to get along, and just no more of this type of, well, you know, that's them over there. They'll be all right. You throwing us little sound bites. No. We want to hear from you directly. I want my listeners, I want you to be able to call in and have conversations. That's the conversation that we need to have with our public officials, whether it's with the mayor, the state's attorney, whether it's with the police commissioner. We want to bring the police commissioner. We haven't heard from the police commissioner. So we need to have these conversations, folks. So, again, you know, we're about to go into that political season, that campaign season. 2020 is upon us. I do not want to go through this and have just very limited to no communication to some of the big decision makers in our city. So that's what it is. So, Mr. Mayor Young, we would like to have you on there. Mr. Davis, please respond to our emails. All right, folks, let's get back into the conversation. We've been talking about Harvard rescinding the admission to a Parkland student over his past comments. And I'm not just asking the question, did Harvard make the right decision? And more importantly, are we able to forgive in this era of social media where folks can see what you have put out in your past? So let's go back to the phone line. Let me hear from another new caller. Let's go to Sean in Baltimore. Sean, checking in. Sean, what's your take?
Yeah, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. Stories like this, when I hear stories like this, it makes me, it basically validates why I primarily read social media, but very rarely comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
For that very same reason. The internet, you know, it does have a long memory. And I noticed way back in the MySpace days that with stuff that you said way back then could come back to haunt you. And what I don't get is for somebody his age, you said he was 16, right? Like, I don't get how these kids and a lot of these adults don't understand that we are living in the information age. I mean, it really should be common sense, well, common knowledge that anything you say on any media outlet, social media outlet, is going to basically stay there with you forever. So if you're asking me what I felt like Harvard did the right thing, for me, I guess I feel like it's not really for me to say whether they did the right thing or not. I mean, it's their business. It's their institution, so I feel like they can do whatever they want with it. It's just that I would just like to put out there that I just want to remind people, because it seems like I have to remind people almost every week that we are living in the information age. That means any and everything that you put electronically out there in the internet universe can be recalled at any particular time in the future. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that we, you know, that,
yeah,
that everybody should take away from this conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Sean, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's hear from Will Thomas. What's your take? Thomas.
Raji, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Well, let me see if I can help you with Mr. Davis a little bit, okay? Mr. Davis, as a caller and a listener of this station, I will personally sponsor a night at Norma Jean's for y'all if you come on this show and talk to us. And I'm going to tell you why I said that.
Really? Me. Come on, Thomas.
I'm gonna tell you why I said that.
Yeah, please tell me why you want to invite you want to invite to the Baltimore block.
Listen, the mayor and another talk show host who you know very well just had a night at Norma Jean's. I mean, not Norma Jean's, but El Dorado's. So how come they can't go to Norma Jean's? Okay? Now, let's leave that right there for a minute. Roger, 15-year-old young man, he knows the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
He just never thought. See, you have a lot of what I call cyber bullying going on, cyber bullies now. They hide behind a fake email address or a fake profile, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He never thought it would catch up with him, is what it is. Roger, how different is the internet catching up with you from you marking your body up with tattoos
mm-hmm.
and a swastika on your body?
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
Never thought about that, did you?
Mm-mm.
I've seen more Baltimore City police officers, Faraji, with tattoos on their body.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're a police officer or a gang member.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, come on. In everything we do, Faraji,
yeah.
If we don't give account for it now, we're going to give account for it later.
There it is. Hey, Thomas, got to let you go. Thank you so much for checking in. Samanj, talk to me. Checking in from Baltimore. What's your take on this Harvard rescinding a college admission?
My take on it is that I do believe that everybody should be judged by their information that they put out in the public about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A number of your callers have said that. But what no one's really mentioned is that, you know, America is a place where once you put things out into the ether, they're out there forever.
Mm-hmm.
However, other countries in Europe have fought for the right to have that information rescinded. And so, you know, our context, the way we're discussing it, is that once it's published, it can't be unpublished. But in fact, it's up to our legislators to determine how those companies operate and whether we can, in fact, demand that info is unpublished like people have a right to do in Europe. And so, yeah, you deserve to be judged by what you put out there. But I think in terms of personal info and corporate responsibility, I think we should have the right to have stuff unpublished about us. And that's really a matter of legislation.
And I'm make sure I understand you, Samanj. So you mean, like, if you put something, you and I put something out there on Twitter, on Facebook, that Twitter or Facebook should unpublish certain things. They shouldn't allow certain comments to just stay there.
No, not certain comments, but basically the fact that once you turn over things to Facebook or once you turn over things to Instagram,
yeah.
I think the way they framed it in Europe is that you have a right for the internet to forget you.
the right for the internet to forget you. And see, this is and that's where we kind of walk that tight rope. So let me ask you very quickly. Do you think that Harvard has crossed its boundaries by looking at the social media of its potential students?
No. I think, like the woman said before, a job will do it, a school will do it. Anybody has a right to do it. If you want to be a babysitter and the family that's checking you out wants to check you out on the internet,
yeah.
I believe everybody has a right to do that, to judge you as a person.
Gotcha.
But I do think, as an individual in a society, you also have a right to be forgotten by these companies in that they don't own you and have a right to publish you and your stuff forever.
Gotcha. Hey, Samanj, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's go to Christopher. Christopher, what's your take on this? And then we'll talk to Pierre, Leo, and Mrs. A. Christopher, what's your take?
What's going on, Farad?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
So I've always been stuck on this particular topic only because you mentioned earlier some like religious principles of forgiveness and everything. So as a Christian, right, you know, we believe in forgiveness, and but we also teach the principle of what you reap is what you sow. It's tough because
so you got that balance, that dichotomy that's right there. Go ahead. I'm listening, Christopher. I'm listening.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm stuck in the middle because, you know, while I understand that we reap what we sow, I just feel like people can be so critical these days And what it reminds me of is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the biblical story about, you know, all the uppity-ups casting stones, you know, or when Jesus told them to, you know, people who hadn't sinned or done anything.
He who hasn't sinned shall cast the first stone. Right.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I just feel like we have a bunch of people who, if we dug deep enough in their past, these same ones who are ready to cast stones and everything, if we dug deep enough in their past, we'd find some, you know, some stuff to stone them about, you know?
Well, here's the thing, though, Chris. Here's the big thing. This student has a history of using the N-word. So, so if Harvard has, and one of our past callers just mentioned this, that if Harvard's trying to turn the corner or turn a page on their checkered past, and then knowing that a student has a history of using the N-word, not like 10 years ago, you know, this is 2 years ago. Even though the student said, look, I'm a changed person. You know, I had a life-altering experience of the Parkland shooting. I've changed. That was dumb. And all of those things, how do we reconcile that? Because that's harsh. That's offensive. Using the N-word in 2000-whatever year is offensive. You mean to tell me you don't know that that is wrong?
And, and you're absolutely right. So what helps me sometimes is, like, I'll look at the situation, and for the 16-year-old, you know what I mean, that's still considered a child to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Who doesn't do stupid stuff? As a 16-year-old, as a teenager, as, even as a young adult, like, who doesn't say and do dumb stuff? I promise you, if you look back at some of the stuff I've said, if you look back at some of the stuff you said, you know what I mean? We probably wouldn't have jobs either or something, you know. But, like, you know, I can – he apologized. He seemed remorseful, whatever. You know, it's such a young part, or he's at such a early part of his life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you can look back 20, 30 years and see a repeated pattern, you know, for however many years, like some of the people that we have, like, you know, right now in the Me Too movement, stuff like that, you know what I mean, where people have been doing it for years and they're now grown adults and still doing some of the stuff or whatever. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that he's a child, like, you know, it sounds like he may have learned this. So what, he made a mistake, so now he can't go to college?
Well, no, of course he can go to college, but should he have admissions into one of the top colleges in the country and in the world?
So my question is, you know, the principle is, you know, if Harvard took that stance, what's the, you know, what's the difference between other schools taking that same stance? You know, who's going to give him the opportunity to go to college? Like, now that he's a public figure and, you know, what he did and stuff is in the news and everything like that, like, he applies to other schools and they decide not to admit him for the same reason. You know, then what?
That's a good question, Chris. Thank you so much for checking in. Let's hear from Pierre in Baltimore, then Leo. Pierre, what's your take? Thank you for your patience.
Hello, how you doing today?
I'm good, brother.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. You shouldn't just let one mistake dictate your future and destiny. You know, as children, for example, let's look at this kid. You know, he's 16. He hasn't really experienced life yet. Like, there's not many lessons that he's learned from, you know, but it takes so much to build character. One of the themes that I really focus on is intelligence with character. You know, he might be an intelligent kid, but sometimes as humans, we have the potential to act on impulse. You know, maybe he acts on impulse and posts something out of anger. You know, so we can't just let one post dictate his future, and see, because those opportunities don't just come around once in a lifetime. You know, so he should just take that opportunity. I think it should be part of it. And everything, and there's so much he has to learn in life and everything. So, into the matter of colleges looking into students' social media, I think that there should be boundaries in that to a certain extent, you know, because some people have the right to privacy and all of that. So, yeah, I think that kid should really be pardoned and given amnesty to continue to be great. You know, you can't just let that one mistake stop him from being great.
Absolutely. All right, Pierre, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let's go to Mrs. A, then Leo. Mrs. A, talk to me. What's your take on this?
Hi,
Mrs. A.
I believe that Harvard did make the right decision, because it is, as the people before me have said, with the history of racism in our country, people, especially our young people, should be aware of the fact that, one, it's not right, and two, that it's definitely not tolerated. no matter how old you are. If our country is to move towards a better direction, these reprimands must be enforced at an early age so that we can set an example for the up-and-coming generations. That being said, the same thing goes for Harvard. I believe that this isn't just a matter of forgiveness, but it's also a matter of hypocrisy. You cannot sit here and reprimand someone for doing the same thing you yourself are doing. It is hypocritical, and it's also not setting an example for other Ivy League schools on how to go about things. After all, wasn't, like, Harvard one of the schools that took bribes from people in order to accept certain racial and economic backgrounds into their schools?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So do you think so Harvard is calling is like the pot calling the kettle black?
Basically, yes.
But so is there an opportunity for Harvard to turn the page though? Maybe folks at Harvard are saying, look, man, we've gotten involved into some craziness and some foolishness, and we've made some very, very poor decisions in the past. Let this be the start of a new chapter for Harvard. Is that possible?
I believe anyone has the right or the possibility to turn the page, as you said. But if they have the right or the ability to turn the page, then so does the young man.
Okay. And that was one of his arguments, Mrs. A, that he brought up, that he said he made that same exact point, that, you know, if you are telling me that I can't come back, if any institution should understand growth, it's Harvard, which is looked to as the pinnacle of higher education despite its checkered past. So it's, and then he brings up the point. In the end, this isn't about me. It's about whether we live in a society in which forgiveness is possible or mistakes brand you as irredeemable. Ms. Zay, I appreciate you for checking in. Thank you so much. Let's go to Leo. Leo, what's your take on it, sir? Leo?
How are you today?
I'm good, sir. How you doing, Leo?
Oh, I'm great. Listen, this is a 16-year-old white boy, right?
Yeah, this is...
Okay,
yes, sir.
He's I would brand him, maybe he's a white Negro, I don't know. But I'm looking at how do you standardize college admission process, procedures, so that they're even-handedly dealt with for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So they've selected this one white guy who might be a racist, but of course Harvard has a history of racism. It's a Ivy League privately endowed racist institution. And then we keep looking at the broader context of social media and the internet in general as a facilitator of exposure and manipulation. Folks have got to beware. It's like dealing with Russian roulette or racist roulette. And we're looking at Facebook. We're looking at Mark Zuckerberg. What did he do to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? He took him off of Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg is a racist. So I'm just saying it's a vehicle, the internet, it's a vehicle of divide and conquer. And irrespective of whether you have freedom of speech or not, you have freedom of speech, but you don't know what the controllers of the internet and social media are going to do with it. Mm-hmm. They may do anything they want to do. And again, we're on a sea, we're sailing somewhere, and we're dropping off a cliff, and we don't know where the heck we're being dropped off to. So beware of social media in general, and the internet in general, because we have no control over the divisive forces that rule and control the internet, not to our advantage, but to the advantage of less than 1% of the very wealthy who control and manipulate it.
All right, Leo, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to Cozy, North Baltimore. Cozy, what's your take?
Raji, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you, Cozy?
Militant man in Maryland, I'm doing all right. Now, the first one is subject. I was going to say, hey, get a boy a second chance. He's young. People make mistakes. You shouldn't be judged by your past all the time. Then I thought, if it was one of us, they would have strung us up by now. You ain't getting no second chance.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting a second chance at all. It ain't going to be an afterthought. You know, I don't like the fact of, you know, Facebook, you know, doing this and that, and social media trying to block us and Louis Farrakhan and all that,
mm-hmm.
because that's part of a hidden agenda. And basically, for the upcoming elections, they don't want us on there doing what we got to do. But since, you know, I am who I am, no, I can't forgive him. So, nope, can't do it. Can't forgive my enemies like that too much. If he down, I'm putting my foot on his throat. I'm sorry. Can't forgive him. I can't do it at all. He knew what he was doing. You know, maybe he got that from his parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he did. You know, we don't know. But I'm not for banning everybody or, look, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that. I'm not for that. But with him, I'm sorry. Too bad. Go to Yale. You can't go to Harvard. Your butt can go to Yale. Go mm-hmm. to Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So he's not being banned from colleges like my grandparents and their parents.
Mm.
See, he still can go to college.
Yeah.
You're just not going to Harvard. Harvard got their skeletons in a closet, too, like everybody said. Like that college, the Jewish college professor that was hooked up with Jeffrey Epstein and those underage women and all that. You know, he still worked there. Wasn't it Horowitz or whatever his name is? They know who I'm talking about. So that's my take on it. I'm sorry.
That.
I can't forgive you.
I appreciate that. Hey, Cozy, thank you so much for checking in. Let's go to King Talib. King, talk to me. What's your take?
Faraji.
Yeah.
What's going on, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, I can't complain. Last time I seen you, you was looking like the New Edition comeback album cover.
You know what, King?
Hey, King.
Don't throw. Hey, look, man. It's already cloudy out here, so you don't need to throw no shade.
Oh, man, I'm messing with you, man. You're sharp as a tack.
You good, bro. You good. What's up, man?
Hey, man, you know, this is a very interesting layered conversation that you're having, man.
It is.
It's really got so many. It's like an onion, man. It's so many layers onto it, whereas the nucleus of it, are we talking about internet freedom, forgiveness? Are we talking about racism, white supremacy, and the
white privilege. Come on.
White privilege,
yep.
All of that. You know what
yep.
I'm saying? So it's like, you know, this particular institution, you know, we politely say it's checkered past, but it's skull and bones, clandestine, nefarious activity. The question is, why did they do this to this particular young man? You know, publicity stunt. I mean, their institution, their college is full of people like this young man. So as far as him being forgiveness, I don't really think forgiveness comes into play. You have this, like, I couldn't help but think about all of this scandal with the people buying their kids into college and this thing that's been going on with these celebrities and whatnot. And then I thought about the little mother who wanted her kid to go to a better school and change the address. She got put in jail for 12 years.
And all of
the young men in the so-called criminal justice system that are and they're in prison, tried as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no redemption. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think a question of forgiving. I think the little person just got busted. You know what I'm saying? He just got caught. So had he not gotten caught, or had they not flagged them for whatever their reason was for doing that, flagging and making an example for, look, hey, everybody, you know, we're Harvard. We're going to, you know, we're not tolerating this. But that's in their bloodline. So it can't be them filtering out racism or racist people. That's bull.
Yeah, I hear you. King, thank you so much for checking in, man. It's always good to hear from you. A lot of interesting comments. Let's go to Antoinette, Harlem Park. Antoinette, what's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji.
Hey, Antoinette, how you feeling?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So, no one is saying that this young man can't go to college.
No.
And matter of fact, if he's really sincere and feels remorse for what he said about African Americans, why don't we offer him a full scholarship at Morgan for him to pursue a PhD in African American Studies, and then he'd come back into some underserved communities such as Baltimore and teach African American students, African American youth, you know, children, school age children, about their history. If he's really remorseful, And then another thing, I just cannot believe that white privilege didn't teach this white boy how to protect his brand. Now, we know that young black people don't know how to protect their brand.
He's 16, though. White privilege can teach all you want, but you still 16. You make stupid decisions.
Well, you know what? That 16-year-old that made that stupid decision out there in Baltimore County, let's see if we can get some of his years back.
Mm. All right, Antoinette, thank you so much. Jamila, talk to me. What's your take?
Raji, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The first comment that I wanted to make was that I think that the issue at hand is probably a little bit bigger. I think that the reason why Harvard probably really, honestly, did not, they rescinded his admissions was because he was more so, he's pro-gun, and he's a very conservative student. And he makes that well-known on the internet.
Right.
And, you know, Harvard has a reputation, you know, even though we all know that it's not really authentic and true, of being seen as a more liberal environment.
Right.
And so as a liberal institution, when they caught wind of this gentleman being, I mean, they already knew he was conservative, but then on top of that, he had put out these racial comments online. That's what I think was probably the tipping point where they were like, you know what, we're not going to accept him. We're going to take back, his acceptance letter. The second point that I just wanted to make was that this young man is not a baby boomer. He's not even a Gen Xer. He grew up in a culture where they're taught from very young age about the importance of internet and what you put on the internet has consequences. And I know that's what facts because I have children that are in the school system.
Mm.
And so there's actually no excuse for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody that makes exception to it, because I think sometimes, you know, we as a community, black people, we can become over-forgiving. But there's just no excuse for that. When he was raised in a culture where he knows that's just not acceptable.
Right. He know the difference between right and wrong. You learned that at a very young age.
Very young age.
Very young age.
Over-forgiving. In the culture that we live in.
We got a community that's over-forgiving? For real, Jamila? Are we over-forgiving with ourselves or with other people?
I think with other people. We can be very critical of ourselves and not take enough credit for things that we do and progress we made. But when it comes to other people that violate us and do a lot of hideous things, I think a lot of black people can be a little too over-forgiving.
All right, Jamila, I got to let you go, but I appreciate it. Man, you dropped something on me. Look, folks, I got to take another break. When we come back, Matthew from Baltimore, Lamont from Baltimore City. Also, I want to share with you what one writer has to say about this whole situation when he essentially said this case has nothing to do with free speech. I'm going to share with you a little bit of that. And also on the other side, there's been an ongoing conversation about squeegee boys. One squeegee boy said that he has no alternative. Really? Stay riding with me. We're going to get into that conversation on the other side for the second hour for the culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Now let's check in with NPR.